Well, good evening, everyone. On behalf of Raymond Poe, Director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture, we thank you very much for the invitation to come to Montgomery County today. My name is Craig Songroth. I'm with the Illinois Department of Agriculture, and I will be serving as the hearing officer for tonight's public informational meeting. Also with me, on behalf of the department, are Warren Goach, sitting next to me. He's the Deputy Director of the department, and Doug Owens, who's sitting up here at the front row. He's the manager of the Bureau's livestock program. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to Section 12 of the Livestock Management Facilities Act. The informational meeting is being held at the request of the Montgomery County Board. The purpose is to afford members of the public an opportunity to ask questions and present oral and written testimony regarding the proposed construction of a new 1,920 animal unit swine facility by DAD Rental, Inc. My task this evening is to ensure this meeting is conducted in an orderly fashion and to ensure that all comments and testimony received are entered into the record. Tonight's meeting is being transcribed. The transcript of this meeting will be sent to the Montgomery County Board as well as used by the Department of Agriculture in making its determination regarding the proposed construction of this facility. In order to ensure that we have an orderly process, I will quickly explain how the meeting will proceed this evening. First, following my comments, Warren Goach will provide an overview of the provisions of the Livestock Management Facilities Act as it relates to this particular project, specifically outlining the current status of the project and how the process will proceed after this meeting. Following Mr. Goach, representatives from the proposed construction project will be given an opportunity to describe the project and demonstrate how they believe it meets the siting criteria of the Livestock Management Facilities Act. After their presentation, I will open the meeting to questions. Anyone wishing to ask questions of the facility representatives or the department will be given an opportunity to do so. During the question and answer session, I will ask that you state your name and spell your last name for the court reporter. You may then ask your question. Depending on the number of people who wish to testify in the oral testimony phase of the meeting, which is after the question phase, there may be a time limit placed on the questioning phase. Following the question and answer phase, I will ask for written testimony. If anyone has written testimony that is not part of your oral testimony, I will accept it and enter it into the record for this proceeding. If you have written material that you'll be using as part of your oral testimony, it can be entered into the record following your oral testimony. Then, depending on the amount of time that has elapsed, at this point in the meeting, we may take a short break. Following the written testimony, I will ask for oral testimony from the public. Sign-in sheets are placed at the front of the room as you came in. They're right over here. There's one sheet for attendance, which is on the left, and there's one sheet for testimony, which is on the right. People who wish to provide comments during this oral testimony phase are asked to sign the oral testimony sheet. So you want to speak tonight, you sign the sheet on the right. People providing oral comments will be sworn in. Each person will be given 3 minutes to provide his or her comments. Legal counsel, if any, speaking on behalf of multiple clients will be given a total of 15 minutes for all clients. The attorney will also be asked to state the names of all the persons on whose behalf he or she is speaking. Deferring time to other speakers will not be allowed. If you sign the oral testimony sheet, you may either speak, or if you've changed your mind, feel free to let me know and you can pass. You may not give your time to someone else. The meeting will then conclude with closing comments from the facility and the Department of Agriculture. So to summarize the procedure tonight, we will have comments from the department, comments from the facility, questions directed to the department or the facility. Remember to state and spell your name for the court reporter. Then we'll accept written testimony. Then we'll have oral testimony from the public, and you will have to testify under oath. And then finally, we'll have closing comments. Please keep in mind, we're not here this evening to discuss or debate the merits or perceived inadequacies of the existing law. We're here tonight to receive information on this particular proposed livestock facility to assist with determining compliance with the existing law. This is a public informational meeting. It's not necessarily a court proceeding. The purpose is to share information and provide an opportunity for the department, members of the county board, and you, the public, to learn about this proposed facility. Again, we very much appreciate your hospitality for inviting us here tonight to consider the proposed construction of the DAD Rental, Inc. swine facility. Please remember to confine your comments and questions to that subject as we continue. Before we move to the department's remarks, I often like to give an opportunity if there are any county board members here that would like to speak or offer any comments. Are there? Seeing none, are there any members of the Illinois General Assembly here that would like to offer any comments? Seeing none, I will now turn the proceedings over to Warren Goetsch for remarks on the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you and good evening. My name is Warren Goetsch. I currently serve as the Deputy Director at the Illinois Department of Agriculture. One of our responsibilities at the department is the administration of various provisions of the Livestock Management Facilities Act. On behalf of the department, let me welcome you to this public informational meeting. Before we hear from the proposed facilities representatives, I'd like to say a few words regarding the applicable provisions of the Livestock Management Facilities Act and the current status of this proposal. The Livestock Management Facilities Act was originally passed and became law on May 21st of 1996. Since that time, the act has been amended 7 times, 3 of which have been substantive. The act can be generally described as covering 5 major areas. Those include facility design standards, waste management planning requirements, facility operator training and testing, anaerobic lagoon financial responsibility determination, and facility setback requirements. Each of these provisions impacts various types of facilities in different ways, depending upon the size of the facility, expressed in animal units, and whether the proposed facility is considered as a new facility, a modified facility, or the expansion of an existing site. The Livestock Management Facilities Act's provisions are quite complicated, and specific facility designs and situations certainly can differ. However, it is the department's intention to always fairly and equitably apply these requirements to the livestock industry in this state. Now, regarding the current status of this project, the department received a formal notice of intent to construct application for the proposed construction of a swine facility on June 19, 2017. The proposed project is to consist of the construction of a finishing building measuring 121 feet 10 inches by 321 feet with an 8-foot deep underbuilding livestock waste handling facility. The project is proposed to be located approximately 2 miles east of Farmersville, Illinois, in northern Montgomery County. The application was submitted by Frank and West Environmental Engineers on behalf of Derrick Farms, Incorporated, DAD Rental Incorporated of Morrisonville, Illinois. The maximum design capacity of the proposed facility is 1,920 animal units or 4,800 head of swine greater than 55 pounds each. As I mentioned earlier, the department received the notice of intent to construct application on June 19, 2017, and we reviewed it for compliance with the applicable provisions of the act. On July 17, 2017, the department determined that the notice of intent to construct was complete, and we forwarded a copy of the completed application to the Montgomery County Board. The notice of that application was also published in the appropriate newspaper. The design capacity of the proposed facility requires compliance with a residential setback distance of not less than 1,320 feet and a populated area setback distance of not less than 2,640 feet. On August 10, 2017, the department received official notice from the Montgomery County Board requesting that a public informational meeting be scheduled regarding the proposal. After further consultation with the County Board, the department scheduled this meeting and caused notice of the meeting to be published in the appropriate newspapers. An additional requirement of the Livestock Management Facilities Act deals with the design and construction plans of a livestock waste handling facility. The department has received a formal submittal of detailed engineering design plans and specifications for the proposed projects under building livestock waste handling facility. However, a detailed review of the aforementioned plans has not been completed at this time. As such, the department is currently unable to comment as to the compliance of the design plans and specifications with the statutory requirements of the Act. We are here this evening to receive testimony regarding the proposed livestock management facility's compliance with 8 siting criteria as defined in Section 12, Paragraph D of the Livestock Management Facilities Act. In general, information regarding the following would be appropriate for this evening's meeting: manure management planning, potential impact of the proposed facility on the surrounding area's character, whether the proposed facility is located within any floodplains or other sensitive areas, odor control plans, possible impact of the proposed facility on existing area traffic patterns, and possible impact of the proposed facility on community growth, tourism, recreation, or economic development of the area. Copies of the specific criteria were available on the table with the sign-in sheets. If anyone would like a copy of the criteria but failed to pick one up earlier, if you just identify yourself, Doug would be happy to get one handed to you. Is there anyone that needs a copy of the criteria? Finally, the process that will be followed after this evening's meeting is as follows. The County Board will have up to 30 business days from today's meeting to submit to the department a non-binding recommendation relative to the proposed siting of this facility. Thus, a recommendation from the Montgomery County Board is due at the department on or before October 6, 2017. After the close of the county's 30 business day comment period, the department will have 15 calendar days, or until October 21st, to review all the information submitted to date, including the notice of intent to construct, the construction plans, transcripts from this evening's meeting, the county board's recommendation, and any other additional information submitted by the owners at the request of the department. Based on that review, the department will determine whether the 8 siting criteria have been met. Once that determination is made, the department will notify both the county board and the applicant of the department's determination. Mr. Hearing Officer, at this time I'd like to submit a completed notice of intent to construct application file and its correspondence for formal entry into the record as an exhibit. I'd also like to submit a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that we just utilized for an exhibit as well.
Thank you, Mr. Goach. Entered into the record as exhibit number 1 is the completed notice of intent to construct, including any correspondence between the department and the applicant, notice of the public informational meeting, and any communication with the department and Montgomery County officials as exhibit 1. Entered into the record as exhibit number 2 is the department's PowerPoint presentation. Okay, at this time we'll hear remarks from the facility. Before we begin, will both of you be presenting tonight?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just swear you in both at the same time, if that's okay. Fine. You both raise your right hand. You promise the testimony you're about to provide tonight is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And can you state your names, you first, for the court reporter?
Derek Dunkirk.
Can you spell it for, please?
D-U-N-K-I-R-K.
Okay, Okay, you may proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks to the Department of Ag for hosting us this evening. First off, I want to thank everybody for coming out, taking the opportunity to listen to my family and about our expansion project plans. I'm going to cover a little bit about myself for those of you that don't know me, a little bit of farm history on what my family's done over the years, and our decision to expand and why we chose to move over to the Farmersville area. First off, my name is Derek Dunkirk, as I said earlier. I'm a lifelong resident of Morrisonville, Illinois. I live in the same house that I grew up in. I attended the Morrisonville School District. I'm the fourth generation to live in the house that I live in currently with my wife and children. As a youth, I was heavily involved in 4-H. Once I entered into high school, I got active in FFA and played a lot of sports. After my high school career, I ended up at the U of I in Champaign for 4 years, where I was also involved with a lot of other ag programs and ag groups. In 2002, I graduated from U of I with a bachelor's degree in farm and financial management. At that point in time, I had the opportunity to move back home and work on the family farm. This summer, I'm proud to say that I'm celebrating 15 years of working side by side with my father, and I'm pretty proud of that fact. Once I moved back to our community, I got heavily involved in my local community that I grew up in. Started off working a lot with the Kiwanis as a president of that organization. We've been lifelong members of the St. Morris Catholic Church. I've been heavily involved with the KC Council in Morrisonville for a long time and served as a Grand Knight. Also in 2005, I got the opportunity to serve on the Morrisonville School Board, where I held a board seat for 10 years. The most important thing I've done since I moved back to home is started a family. I married my beautiful wife, Chelsea, in 2006, and we have 3 beautiful children. We adopted our daughter, Adelaide, in 2009. We had our 2 sons, Gentry and Rigby, one in 2011 and the other one in 2014. And they just all started back to school in the same school that me, my father, and my grandfather went to. My family's history, I'm the fifth generation to farm, third generation to raise pigs at the site where we live. We're just like a lot of farms, we're diversified into grain production and swine production and have a small trucking fleet. Our corn and soybean farm, on the corn side, we raise a lot of non-GMO corn. About 50% of it's white for food grade and the other 50% is yellow for food grade. Our soybeans are 100% seed beans for the Pioneer production plant in Litchfield. On the other side, we've always had a hog operation. My grandfather started raising pigs in the 50s as an outdoor farrow to finish operation. As time moved on, we've seen the benefits of moving the pigs indoors, and in the 60s and 70s, they started to build finishers, farrowing rooms, and nurseries to move the pigs inside where they were safely raised. My family's farm today is a little different than it was back then. Over time, different members have retired, and our farm has roots in several areas and has combined those up. My grandmother is a Weffenstedt, and the farm ground in Farmersville area and Pittman Township and also up in Bodark Township just south of Pawnee was all Weffenstedt ground. They come into our family once those members retired. The decision to expand and move, as my wife looked back at our children, her and I talked a lot about providing a future for them, like was provided to me by my father and him, his father. We had several different entities to look at, the grain side, the trucking side, and of course the hog operation. Over time, we had transitioned away from farrow to finish. We decided to move into buying feeder pigs in 1999. We carried this on until 2002. At that point in time, we decided to transition to buying wean pigs. We built the barn at my house in 94. It sits about 50 yards behind my house. In 2006, we added another wean to finish barn about a half mile south of my house. And then in 2012, we built another wean to finish barn. In 2010, we had an interesting opportunity. After serving on the Illinois Pork Producers Association board for quite a while and being a president of that association, I made a good relationship with Phil Borgic. Phil and I talked some, and he gave us the opportunity to come on as a contract grower. My family discussed it, talked a lot about it, and decided it was a good move for us. So in 2010, we joined the Borgic Pork Partners and their family farm as a contract grower. That partnership allowed us to expand and grow, add more barns in our operation, and make more of a space for me as I'd returned home from farming. When we talked about expansion, and I said we talked about several different entities, the contract finishing operation was the one that seemed to shine the brightest light on our expansion possibilities. So my wife and I decided to start looking around for another site. My family looked at several different sites before we chose this one. This site, when we looked at it, we decided to look at the LMFA law to see where our setbacks would be, and decided to try and place a barn that could do as little impact as possible. This site here had some ground that we owned around it for the manure applications. It met all the setback criteria and was nestled nicely off of I-55 and the farmers with blacktop for truck traffic. The new barn, we'll talk a little bit about it and its technology and the way it'll be set up. As they discussed earlier, it's about 120 feet wide by 320 feet long. It'll set east and west. It's a tunnel ventilated barn, which means air gets drawn across the building. So the curtains on this building will be on the south side and will draw all the fresh air through and exhaust it to the north. Inside the barn, there's a lot of new technology we're utilizing. We have what they call a Maximus controller, which gives me remote access to the barn at all times. I can monitor temperatures, fan speeds, how many amps motors are pulling, when feed lines are running, how much feed and water the pigs are drinking. My crew will be there every day to help tend to the hogs, but this allows me a little bit of opportunity to see what's going on when we're not there. There's a lot of local material suppliers that are going to help us on the new site. Walsh Electric out of Raymond will be providing electricity to the barn and a generator for the site. The Rural Electric Cooperative is working with us on the electricity. Poke and Pull Ready Mix out of Raymond is going to provide all the concrete. AP out of Assumption, they'll provide the fans, the feed systems, and a lot of the electric motors. Farm Weld is an Illinois company that's providing all the feeders. Schold up in Bushnell is supplying the bulk bins. And the Nokomis Quarry will supply a whole bunch of rock to help us develop a nice driveway in and out of the facility. As we talked about earlier, the facility has a deep pit so that we can keep the manure stored right there on site and applied to the land that we own in that area. In conclusion, I'd just like to thank everybody once again for coming out, and I'm going to turn it over to Jake.
Good evening. My name is Jake Nims. I'm with Frank and West Environmental Engineers in Springfield. This presentation will give you an introduction of the farm overview and layout, and then I'll also talk about the conformance with the Livestock Management Facilities Act and the 8 siting criteria that Mr. Goetsch alluded to earlier. It's a map of the proposed facility. You can see it's located down here approximately 2 miles east of Farmersville. Just a quick drawing showing the dimensions of the actual pit. The outside dimensions are 321 by 121 10 inches. The 8 siting criteria. Number 1, registration and certification requirements. Number 2, design, location, and operation standards. Number 3, location compatibility. Number 4, floodplain and aquifer protection. Number 5, minimize environmental impact. 6, odor control and reduction. 7, traffic patterns minimizing impacts to the surrounding community. Number 8, facility consistent with area development. Siting criteria number 1, whether registration and livestock waste management plan certification requirements, if required, are met by the notice of intent to construct. Part 1 is the registration requirements. The notice of intent to construct was filed with the Department of Ag on June 19, 2017, and the notice of intent was deemed complete by the Department of Ag on July 17th. Part 2 of siting criteria 1 is the nutrient management plan. According to the Livestock Management Facilities Act, a farm which exceeds 1,000 animal units but is less than 5,000 shall prepare, maintain, and implement a nutrient management plan within 60 working days after commencing operation of the proposed barn. This farm will prepare, maintain, and implement a comprehensive nutrient management plan. The farm will submit to the Department of Ag the Nutrient Management Plan certification form, certifying that the nutrient management plan has been prepared. The farm will keep the comprehensive nutrient management plan as well as records of livestock waste disposal on file at the farm, and the CNMP and associated records will be available for Department of Ag inspections. The goal of the comprehensive nutrient management plan will be to utilize the manure at approved agronomic loading rates that meet the nutrient needs of the locally grown crops in an environmentally sound fashion. This goal will be accomplished by developing a comprehensive nutrient management plan which includes the following: total annual manure volume calculations, historically proven yields in application areas, manure analysis to provide the nutrient content of the manure, agronomic loading rates of manure, land application provisions for setbacks and incorporation standards, and documentation of all phases of the plan. Siting criteria 2, whether the design, location, or proposed operation will protect the environment by being consistent with the Livestock Management Facilities Act. Part one of this deals with the design of the concrete structures. The concrete pit will be designed according to Midwest Plan Service Concrete Manure Storage Handbook Guidance. The Midwest Plan Service is a university-based publishing cooperative dedicating to publishing and disseminating research-based and peer-reviewed publications. This includes concrete specifications, reinforcement requirements, and water stop requirements. As we talked about earlier, the design for the proposed farm will consist of construction plans for one finishing barn. This is a typical example of what a finishing barn would look like from the outside, and that would be a typical pen layout inside. This is just a typical pit cross-section showing the inside of the barn. Simply, the animals are housed on concrete slats. The floor is slatted, and the manure falls through those slats and are stored in the concrete pit underneath until the appropriate time to apply. Part two of siting criteria two deals with the location. As we alluded to earlier, the location and setback distances have been met, both the occupied and populated area, and the farm location was deemed complete by the Department of Ag on July 17th. Part three is proposed operation. The manager of the farm will be a certified livestock manager. This is a program developed by the Department of Ag to educate livestock managers on manure management handling and systems. Managers of farms over 1,000 animal units are required to attend a training course and pass an exam. And the livestock waste management plan will detail the operation at the farm so that all manure applications will be based on site-specific data. Criteria three, whether the location minimizes any incompatibility with the surrounding area's character by being zoned for agriculture where the county has zoning, or where the county is not zoned, the setback requirements established by the LMFA are complied with. The proposed farm location is not zoned. The farm is compatible with the surrounding area in that the area is a rural agricultural area. And then this map is from the Illinois Association of County Zoning Officials, and you can see Montgomery County is listed as no zoning. The setbacks, 4,800 animals greater than 55 pounds are equal to 1,920 animal units. This requires an occupied residence setback of 1,320 feet or a quarter mile, or a populated area setback of 2,640 feet or a half mile. And again, the Department of Ag deemed the setbacks complete on July 17th. Criteria four, whether the farm is located within a 100-year floodplain or an otherwise environmentally sensitive area, defined as an area of karst area or with aquifer material within 5 feet of the bottom of the livestock waste handling facility, and whether construction standards set forth in the notice of intent to construct are consistent with the goal of protecting the safety of the area. This is a map showing the location from FEMA, the FEMA database showing the 100-year floodplain. This hatched area over on the right side would be what would show up as a 100-year floodplain on the map on the left. And as you can see from where the building is located, there's no 100-year floodplain in the immediate vicinity. Karst area, an area with a land surface containing sinkholes, large springs, disrupted land drainage, and underground systems associated with karstified carbonate bedrock, limestone or dolomite, and caves or a land surface without these features, but containing a karstified carbonate bedrock unit generally overlain by less than 60 feet of unconsolidated materials. The map on the left is the entire state of Illinois with the known locations of karst areas shaded. As you can see, this county does not have any known karst regions anywhere in the county, and then on the right side would just be a closer zoomed-in view of the county itself. Aquifer material. Sandstone that is 5 feet or more in thickness, or fractured carbonate that is 10 feet or more in thickness, or sand gravel, or sand and gravel, such that there is at least 2 feet or more present within any 5-foot section of a soil boring. It's a quick side view of the boring. You can see the U-shaped area represents the concrete pit underneath the building, and then with an 8-foot depth, we figure the pit itself, the bottom of the pit, will be about 6 foot below the current grade, and then we have to do a 5-foot boring below that, so a total of an 11-foot boring was conducted within the footprint of the building, and this site investigation and boring was conducted on July 18th. And no aquifer material was found within that boring. Criteria 5, whether the owner or operator has submitted plans for operation that minimize the likelihood of any environmental damage to the surrounding area from spills, runoff, and leaching. For spills, this barn has proper sizing, adequate storage capacity in excess of the required 150 days within the LMFA. The pit itself will have storage capacity in excess of 365 days. And the pit is designed as a closed system. There will be no uncontrolled release of livestock manure. Runoff, there will be clean water diversions that will allow for rainwater to be directed away from the building so that fresh water does not run into the pit itself and decrease the capacity of the building. Leaching, the farm is designed so as to prevent a release of livestock manure. This consists of solid concrete construction reinforced with grade 60 steel rebar, and water stop will be placed in all construction and stoppage joints. All surfaces in contact with livestock manure, in this case concrete, will meet the required permeability standards. Criteria 6, whether odor control plans are reasonable and incorporate reasonable or innovative odor reduction technologies, given the current state of such technologies. The proposed farm will implement a comprehensive odor control plan, which will consist of controlled land application of manure, routine maintenance, feed management, and proper location. The controlled application of manure by injection based upon nitrogen and phosphorus loading from actual on-site data, and the DAD Rental Inc. farm intends to utilize injection as the application method for livestock manure. This method minimizes the contact with air and is widely accepted as the best available technology for manure application. All livestock manure will be applied by the farm owner, and the application equipment will contain safety controls, including but not limited to, the equipment will be visually monitored continuously, there will be emergency shutoffs in the cab, and communication between personnel available at all times. This is an example of an injection unit on the back of a manure tanker, which I believe is what you intend to utilize. A little close-up view of the back, you could actually see the knives inject the manure into the ground below the ground surface, so there will not be any out over the on the surface of the ground itself. It's an example of a drag line, which I don't think will be used here. So. The DAD Rental Inc. farm has at least 1,045 acres locally available per year for livestock applications. In utilizing local yields combined with area soil types, it is anticipated that the farm would utilize approximately 415 acres of a corn-corn rotation. The farm will utilize regular maintenance to minimize dust originating from the facility. Regular maintenance will include routine visual walkthroughs of the barns to ensure that there is no manure buildup above the slatted floor and walkways, and the regular cleaning of fans to prevent the accumulation of dust. The farm will be thoroughly pressure washed and sanitized between each production cycle. This will minimize the amount of odor-causing particles that are able to leave the facility through the ventilation fans. The farm will ensure that the building's fans operate efficiently, thus minimizing the dust buildup, and regular maintenance is known to reduce odor concentrations and odor intensity. The farm has incorporated an animal diet formulated to allow the most efficient utilization of proteins and nutrients in the feed. This dietary practice aids in the reduction of overall odors from the farm by reducing excess nutrients excreted by the animals. The farm complies with and exceeds facility setback distances as established in the Livestock Management Facilities Act. The residential setback is exceeded by 1,140 feet, and the populated area setback is exceeded by 7,240 feet. And just to kind of reiterate, the comprehensive odor control plan is made up of three parts: the farm location and maintenance, proper nutrition, and the injection of manure. The farm has diligently planned an overall odor control strategy by incorporating numerous odor control techniques and technologies. The farm will also continue to look for and incorporate other technologies as they become available. This strategic plan incorporates reasonable and innovative technologies that will allow the facility to operate with minimal impact to the surrounding area. Criteria 7, whether traffic patterns minimize the effect on existing traffic flows. This is the same map that I showed you earlier. If you leave the farm, you'll head north on East 5th Road and then west on County Road 3050 North to get to Interstate 55. On East 5th Road, according to the Illinois Department of Transportation traffic counts, on East 5th Road, there's a weekly average of 350 vehicles, and on County Road 3050 North, there's a weekly average of 9,450 vehicles. It's anticipated that the proposed farm will have 8 total trucks weekly. This includes feed transportation and animal transportation trucks. The DAD Rental Inc. farm traffic will consist of less than 2.3% of the average weekly traffic on East 5th Road and less than 0.09% on County Road 3050 North. DAD Rental Inc. farm traffic will comply with the same seasonal posted road weight limits as all other traffic in the area. Criteria 8, whether construction of a new farm is consistent with existing community growth, tourism, recreation, or economic development, or with specific projects involving community growth, tourism, recreation, or economic development that have been identified by government action for development or operation within 1 year through compliance with applicable zoning and setback requirements for populated areas as established by the Livestock Management Facilities Act. The farm is consistent with existing and planned community development of this rural agricultural area by demonstrating compliance with zoning and setback requirements. The farm will meet all the requirements of the Livestock Management Facilities Act. We appreciate the opportunity and look forward to your questions.
Do you have a hard copy of your PowerPoint presentation? Entered into the record as exhibit number 3 is the presentation from the facility representatives. Okay, we will now open the meeting for any questions that you may have of the facility or the department. If you have a question you would like to ask, please raise your hand, and when called upon, please state your name and spell your name for the court reporter. Please indicate to whom you are directing your question, either to the applicant or to the department. I will remind you that this portion of the meeting is limited to questions only. After this question and answer session, there will be a session dedicated to public testimony where you can provide your oral comments. So please limit this session to questions only. Also, please keep in mind that questions need to pertain to this particular facility. Are there any questions? Okay, we're going to go back on the record. It's currently 7:55 right now. First thing I'm going to do is admit into the record. Excuse me, everyone! First document admitted into the record is exhibit number 7. It's a document from Kara Hitchings. Also admitted into the record is exhibit number 8, which is also offered by Kara Hitchings. And finally, exhibit number 9 is admitted into the record from Mr. Jeremy Jones. Okay, everyone, I have the sign-up sheets that were out at the front of the room. Listen to people who wish to provide oral testimony. I will call the names of those who wish to testify. When called upon, please step up to the microphone right here to my left. State your name and spell your last name for the court reporter. I will then swear you in. Remember, you will have 3 minutes to speak. Before we get started, are there any attorneys here representing clients? Seeing none, the first person to speak is Mr. Brad Wallner. Mr. Wallner? Next is Mr. Troy Uphoff. Please come to the microphone. After Troy will be Marty Marr. You need to state your name for the record, your first and last name.
My name is Troy Uphoff.
And
my last
name
is UPHOFF.
Will you please raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
You may proceed.
Good evening. Again, my name is Troy Uphoff, and I would thank you all for the opportunity to speak to you all tonight in regard to the Dunkirk Project. Derek Dunkirk is a true friend of mine. As a livestock producer myself, I recognize the need to share this accurate information for a new hog facility. For more than 100 years, the Dunkirk family has farmed this property where this hog facility will be built. Derek's family is aiming to keep the family farm going for another 100 years in order to allow children to come back to the farm. Livestock production has allowed many farmers, like Derek, around the state, the opportunity to partner within the family and the farm and remain in his or her hometown. Farming and livestock production in general is a changing yet dynamic industry, helping to strengthen rural economies, both with permanent and temporary jobs. Livestock development has created many jobs in this very area, generating tax revenue and allowing younger generations to stay at home on the farm. Farms like this one, like Derek is building, is a deep pit technology. This allows many new opportunities for the community and yet facing challenges in the future, which we all know will be great and yet coming. But with families like the Dunkirks, we look forward to these challenges together. Operations like this will again pay taxes, create jobs from concrete laborers, finishers, plumbers, and electrician. These workers will spend money and pay taxes locally. Livestock production helps create markets in Illinois for Illinois corn and soybeans. Animal agriculture also helps farmers by increasing local demand for corn and soybeans. The economic output right here in Montgomery County comes from agriculture, accounting for over $65 million to this local economy. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all tonight, and I can say to all of you, Derek is a great friend. They are a great family, and he is a true conservationist. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Uphoff. Next is Marty Marr, and after Marty will be Dean Butler. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
My name is Marty Marr, M-A-R-R.
Will you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
You may proceed.
Good evening. As it was said, my name is Marty Marr. I'm a third-generation cattle, soybean, and corn farmer. I live near New Berlin in Jacksonville, Illinois, in Morgan County. I'm also a District 10 Director for Illinois Corn Growers Association. I want to thank the Montgomery County Board and the Illinois Department of Agriculture for hosting this meeting and providing me with the opportunity to speak tonight. I'm here this evening to speak on behalf and in support of the growth of the livestock industry here in Central Illinois and in Montgomery County. As a livestock farmer and grain producer, I believe that it is vitally important that the livestock industry continue to grow and prosper in our rural Illinois communities. Livestock is the number one consumer of our grain in Illinois and becomes one of the major economic drivers in our downstate agricultural counties. It makes sense to feed our grain that is produced in Illinois to Illinois livestock to maximize our efficiencies and lessen our dependence on our outside market factors that affect our long-term success. Since the adoption of the LMFA in 1996, this legislation has provided a sound set of guidelines and requirements for the design, construction, and operation of existing and new livestock facilities. Livestock producers around the state go to great measure to comply with the requirements of this act. That is why it also includes a strict set of guidelines and criteria in regards to siting new livestock is uniformly upheld in every county in the state. In my home county, more than 15 new or expanded farms have been through the LMFA At this time, our urban development continues to grow and our agricultural areas decline. The Morgan County Board of Commissioners has been very supportive of our ag community and continue to support the livestock growth as it meets the requirements of the Livestock Management Facilities Act. After hearing the farm presentation tonight, I am confident that the Dunkirks can meet or exceed the requirements of the Act, and with the oversight due and the due diligence from the Department of Agriculture, I believe that this project can fulfill the demands of the Act and minimize the impact of the surrounding area. To conclude my comments, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak and encourage the Montgomery County Board to give a positive, non-binding recommendation to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for this farm. And I leave you with this final comment. We in agriculture have never and will never lose sight of the values that have faithfully guided the farmers to produce a safe, affordable product, provide quality animal care, and to protect our air, land, and water, and also provide a place for our future generations to succeed in agriculture. Thank you.
The next speaker is Dean Butler. Dean Butler passes. Next speaker is Kelly Robbins. After Kelly Robbins will be Phil Borgic. Can you please state your name and spell your last name?
Kelly Robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S.
Thank you. Will you please raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
You may proceed.
I've been in Farmersville over 10 years now, and we've had a lot of accidents and a lot of good times, and I've seen a lot of things. Last year, and this is one of my concerns with the manure, was a tanker was driving down East Fifth Road coming from the south north, and it had a triangle size gash in the side of it, and it was spilling manure all the way down East Fifth Road from Route 48 toward Mine Avenue. I tried to flag him down several times. He refused. I could smell it from inside my home, from the road. Finally, a law enforcement officer stopped this. The smell was the worst I've ever experienced in my life, and it lasted for days. There wasn't any cleanup by anyone, and it drained into the ditch when it rained. Additionally, Illinois needs to implement sound ag policies and practices and add various state and federal agencies and professional environmental groups to the approval process. This will help protect the environment, human health, and our rural quality of life from the impact of these concentrated hog confinements. The American dream is to own your own home. It's our castle. It's a place that is supposed to be safe and healthy, a place to hang your hat, and it deserves everyone's respect and cooperation. We must have water, air, and soil that is untainted to have our most valuable asset, which is our quality of life and health. I have several pictures here of the flooding that is within a mile of the proposed site, north, east, west, and south. And I will put that with this, my written and signed statement. And I'd like to thank the county board for allowing us to speak, and for the Department of Ag and for allowing us, and especially you for answering my questions and being very patient with me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if the Montgomery County Board would please return a no vote.
Thank you. Admitted into the record as exhibit number 10 will be a letter from Kelly Robbins and attached photographs, of which I believe there are 12 photographs. After Mr. Borgic will be Jennifer Tyree.
It's Philip Borgic, B-O-R-G-I-C.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may proceed.
My name is Philip Borgick, lifetime resident of Montgomery County. As a resident of Montgomery County, I'm also aware that we've had some of the highest unemployment rates in the state of Illinois. Montgomery County has a limited number of acres to farm. As farmers get larger, it makes it tougher and tougher for young people to get involved in our business and in agriculture and stay here in our county. The livestock has allowed other families, not only the Dunkirk family, to keep those young people home or bring them back. We've had the fortune of working with six families, additional families that have been able to either to bring their young people home or keep their young people there on that. Our relationship with the Dunkirks, we will own the pigs, and anything that goes on or in the pig, we provide. The question was asked about antibiotics and steroids and hormones. It is illegal to use any hormone in pig feed. We do not use steroids in our pig feed. And the antibiotics today that are humanly significant are controlled by our veterinarian. We have to get a script from our veterinarian to be able to use those antibiotics in our feed, and he dictates, or she dictates, how many days and at what level that antibiotic is put in that feed. And so we have a lot of oversight then on how we use those products. But so not only will the Dunkirks be looking after this farm, that myself and my staff will also be watching over the farm and making sure it's operated properly, because it affects our livelihood also, how they take care of those animals in those facilities. I thank you for coming this evening and getting informed about the livestock business. Thank you.
Next to testify is Jennifer Tyree. After Jennifer will be Kara Hitching. Please state your name and spell your last name for the record.
Jennifer Tyree, T-I-R-E-Y.
And do you swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
May proceed.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Jennifer Tyree. I currently serve as the executive director for the Illinois Pork Producers Association. And the first thing I want to start out by saying is that we welcome these sort of conversations. Livestock has obviously changed over the years. As Derek talked about during his opening statements, they used to raise their animals outdoors. So keeping in mind that back in 1960, farmers raised enough to feed 25 mouths. Now farmers have to raise enough feed for 155 mouths. The population continues to change, and as that changes, so does our industry. So we welcome this change because we now raise our animals indoors, which I understand causes a lot of concern and a lot of questions, because you can't drive by and see our animals outdoors like you could 50 years ago. So what I want to tell you about the Illinois Pork Producers Association and the people that we represent, just like Derek and his family, is that those 2,000 pig farmers in the state of Illinois, 98% of those are still family-owned. As Derek mentioned in his statement, his family, his wife Chelsea and his three children live 50 yards away from their barn. So that's something that is a constant across the state of Illinois, not just here in Montgomery County. There are many family farms that their families still own the farm right next to, they live next to the barns, they raise their families, and they work and live in those communities where their barns are. Now, something I want to also keep in mind is that they talked about manure. Keep in mind that the siting requirements through the Illinois Department of Agriculture, the regulations do not end after that 8 siting requirements. If the barn is built, there are continued regulations that these farmers must follow every single day. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency can come on site without notice for any of these farms on any given day. And the most recent EPA violations find that there's less than 1% odor violations for the entire state of Illinois. That's a very significant number. That's a very low number. But the EPA will continuously regulate these farms and make sure that they're doing the right thing. And let's keep in mind that this is their livelihood. They're raising their families. They're raising a product that has to be safe for that consumer. So on behalf of the Illinois Pork Producers, I thank you very much for having the opportunity for us to speak tonight and for you to be able to ask questions and learn more about our industry. Thank you very much.
Next on the list is Kara Hitching. After Kara Hitching will be Russell Mays. Can you please state your name for the record and spell your last name? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? You may proceed.
Hello, my name is Kara Hitchings. I live at 3209 Morrisonville Avenue. I'm married to Dan. I'm the fourth generation of a homeowner on my homestead. I have two children and five grandchildren. We are hobbyist livestock owners, and my husband farms for various farmers. Currently, since I was born, I've lived one-fourth of a mile from the current hog operation on Morrisonville Avenue. And with the proposed permit, I will be approximately 1 1/4 mile west of it. So I'm going to be entangled with two units between my home. With the westerly winds prevailing 80% of the time, and our relief is the southern, north, and easterly winds. And now I'm going to be problems with the easterly winds, even though they're only 20%. The two exhibits I presented earlier, one is a petition from the 34 homestead people surrounding in a 3-mile radius of the proposed site. They're all on well water. Their concerns they can express to the board on their own. The main keys were water, odor, environment. There are also the village of Farmersville residents as well, because they're in that 3 to 5 mile scenario as well. And I can share with you that the reason why they are against this is that there's a current hog farm operation, and it has its issues over the last 18 years, and they have not been resolved. Even at that time, it was a high-tech industrial corporation outlined by the pork producers that it would eliminate odors and problems. And with 18 years of it, no. It's somewhat unbelievable by all of us, with Dunkirk's making the statement that they're high tech, because we're in an existing situation where we're pondered with changing our life cycle. The second proposal that I gave, amendment that I gave to the committee, is the map of the underground mining, and East Fifth Road is on it, and the proposed site east of that has been underground. There's three elements that I want to address as I address this in 18 years ago. Surprisingly, the petition that I tried to get 18 years ago, there was two signatures, me and my mom and dad. This year, which is 18 years different, going to the 34 rural communities.
Why don't I put another minute on the clock for you?
Okay. There was no refusal of signing. Proposed operation to protect the environment consistent to the Act, which is number 2 and 5. The area of the proposed site shows record of underground mining. The mining method was mined by room and pillows. The type of mining method has made failure to the area, creating cave-ins, mine sinks, tension cracks, surface. The proposed site already has a well purged through the aquatic and transmits into the water table. A hydrologic study should be required should there be a breach that would create seepage of manure into the streams, creeks, and to the current aquatic area. The Illinois Code supplements the Act with its own mandate. The Administrative Code requires investigations for any waste construction in an environmentally sensitive area to ensure construction complies with the Act. The owner is required to submit certification statements that the sites meet building restrictions, as this is a higher probable of environment contamination. There are several mine sinks in the area. The most recent is under a year with Tim Seifert on the Morrisonville Road, I-55. Three other farmlands, 3 mile radius of the proposed site, but now the school and the mine sink at the West Subdivision in Springfield. And I won't go into the other.
We only have 4 more people to speak. Unless there's an objection from the audience, I'd like to let her finish. If you could do it quickly. There's an objection? Okay, well, since your time is up, I do want to be fair to everyone else. You're more than welcome to submit that as written testimony into the record, so it'll be anything you have to say in there will be considered. Are there any other, Russell Mays? Okay, so Russell Mays passes. Next is Richard Lyons. After Richard Lyons will be Jim Kaichek. Can you please state your name and spell your last name for the court reporter?
Richard Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S.
Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? You may proceed.
First of all, I'd like to say that having known Derek for a number of years, watching him grow up and watching the family, I'm in total support of what they're going to do because I know what he's going to follow those specifically, and he will carry through that. As far as odors, etc., I can't make any promises because I was a hog farmer at my own at one time. What I want to speak about tonight is I want Derek to be aware that he and this farm is located on 2 key watersheds in Illinois. One, the Macoupa Creek watershed, which produces the most phosphorus going into the loading to the Illinois River, and the other is Horse Creek subwatershed of Illinois River. And with that, or excuse me, Sangamon River, that Horse Creek flows directly to the South Fork, in which Lake Springfield draws water from the South Fork. I talked with Ted Meckes today, manager for City Water, Light and Power, and he is against this construction because of the phosphorus loading that create TMDL possibilities for phosphorus. With this, I want to ask only one thing of Derek is to maybe change his farming practices as far as his manure application. When you put on that manure, would you follow up with a cover crop? I think it'll help you in your soil condition as far as aggregation. I think also that you will be able to absorb some of the phosphorus and less likely to get away. The particular phosphorus is going to be flowing off with sheet erosion here in the level soils here in Illinois, and particularly Montgomery County, in northern and Montgomery County. We're losing about 3.4 ton per acre of soil, of which particular phosphorus will be flowing with that. If you would go to a no-till cover crop system, our records show from the Transect survey that you will be able to reduce that to just about 1 ton. Concern I have is for also the dissolved phosphorus that's going to be flowing from tile lines. I would like for you to maybe begin to monitor that. And if you see it moving up very high, then you need to be aware of that so that you can maybe change some of your practices. I talked with Dr. Mark David, who wrote the science study for the Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy Committee, on which I serve with Mr. Goach. And Dr. David said today that if we get too high of readings, we're starting to see exponential emission of the soluble phosphorus through the tile line. So be aware of that. That's what I'm saying. And as a result of watching you farm over the years, I'm sure that you'll follow my recommendations. That's all I have to say.
Next is Jim Kaichek. Jim Kaichek passes. The last person signed up in the oral testimony sheet tonight is Nick Anderson. Can you please state your name for the record and spell your last name for the court reporter?
Nick Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N.
Mr. Anderson, do you swear the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
It is.
May proceed.
Thank you, County Board, Department of Agriculture, and folks, to hear about this farm and their plans. I thought the farm did a great job explaining how they're going to meet the requirements of the Act. I understand a lot of people don't understand the Act and don't know the detail behind it or the due diligence that goes into that, but I'll assure you that it is a laborious process, and it does take some time and professional help, and with the oversight of the Department of Agriculture, they can attain those requirements. A lot of folks think that it's not enough, but it's an act that we live by here in the state, and we, if we look around the country, Illinois has one of the toughest regulatory acts on livestock, whether it's high enough for everybody else in the market, but it becomes a competitive thing also. I had a lot of other questions to ask and ask of you folks to find out about this farm and the concerns that you have. A couple things that I will point out, and one of them I'll address some of Dick Lyon's issues. We in agriculture are here to take care of the land and preserve it for the future. We're learning things every day about soil nutrients. I will tell you that watershed to Lake Springfield has thousands and thousands of acres. But if you look at the livestock farms that follow agronomic rates, with the nutrient handbook that we have, and look at the nutrient management on livestock farms compared to more commercial farms that don't have regulations on them, I think livestock farmers are at the front edge of that nutrient management reduction and utilization of the products that we produce as hog farms. The last consideration of the county board, and I realize mine subsidences are a challenge. I live up in Divernon. I work for the livestock industry around the state. Please consider not just about this farm or our municipal water systems, our municipal sewer systems, our septic systems that are in rural communities that are susceptible to mine subsidence. When you ask that question of agriculture and this farm, we need to ask that question of everybody in the community. And just because I can't see my septic system doesn't mean that it can't be impacted. And every little bit contributes, whether it's today or tomorrow or in the future. So please keep those considerations in mind when you're thinking about this, and I hope you will base your decisions and your process on fact, not somebody's opinion that I just don't like it there. I hope you can do your due diligence to go through those questions and look at the material that's presented and the due diligence the farm goes through. That's all the comments I have tonight. If any of you have questions for me, I know we didn't get to ask people questions. I have a card. I work with a lot of livestock stuff around the state. If I can be a resource to help you, please look me up. I can get you my business card. I think our solution in the future is good communication and better understanding, and I don't think these issues are really going to play that big a role. And realize that the farms that people might be worried about today in existence are a different production system. They're not lagoon systems. They're managed differently, and new technology does play a role in the future. Thanks very much.
Is there anyone else who would like to provide oral testimony? Seeing none, I'm going to admit into the... You'd like to provide oral testimony? Can you come up to the front? Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Jeremy Jones, J-O-N-E-S.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
You may proceed.
All right, I just have one thing to say. We've listened to a lot of people say that this is going to be a great project. They don't live anywhere near the facility. The people that do live near the facility, we have a lot of them that's definitely showing the opposition to this project. So with that being said, I want to make that a note. And also, upon the signatures that were obtained, the only few people that wouldn't sign it was people that had business with the family, and everybody else did. So I'd like to make a note on that too. Thank you.
Okay. Entered into the record is exhibit number 11, is the oral testimony sign-in sheet. This therefore concludes the oral testimony portion of the hearing. I want to enter into the record as exhibit number 12, the attendance sheet, which there are technically two attendance sheets. Are there any closing remarks from the facility? Seeing none, are there any closing remarks from the department?
I just want to say, again, on behalf of the department's Bureau of Environmental Programs, I'd like to thank you all for being here this evening. Let me assure you that the department appreciates the time and the effort that you put forward to provide us with your comments. I'm sure that the Montgomery County Board will consider them as they develop their recommendation, and I can assure you that the department will consider them as we move forward with our evaluation of the project as well. Thank you again, and have a safe trip home.
Thank you, Warren. As I mentioned earlier, a copy of the transcript will be provided to the county board. For others desiring a copy of that transcript, it will be available by contacting the court reporter, and you can get her information by tonight as soon as I'm done. We thank you for your attendance tonight. This public informational meeting is hereby closed.